The Great Adapters. The Gartner Group, the technology consultants, coined a term to describe the trend in the information technology world away from specialization and toward employees who are more adaptable and versatile. It calls them versatilists. Building employee versatility and finding employees who already are or are willing to become versatilists will be the new watchword for career planning, according to a Gartner study quoted by TechRepublic.com. The Gartner study noted that specialists generally have deep skills and narrow scope, giving them expertise that is recognized by peers but seldom valued outside their immediate domain. Generalists have broad scope and shallow skills, enabling them to respond or act reasonably quickly, but often without gaining or demonstrating the confidence of their partners or customers. Versatilists, in contrast, apply depth of skill to a progressively widening scope of situations and experiences, gaining new competencies, building relationships, and assuming new roles. Versatilists are capable not only of constantly adapting, but also of constantly learning and growing. Tech Republic quoted Joe Santana, director of training at Siemens Business Services. With flat or even smaller budgets and fewer people, managers need to make the most of the people they have. They can no longer see people as specialty tools. And their people need to become less like specialty tools and more like Swiss Army knives. Those Swiss Army knives are the versatilists. Let's face it, my kids have very little chance of working for the same company for 25 years as I have. They have got to be adaptable. Swiss Army knives. Gene Sperling, the former economic advisor to President Clinton and author of The Pro-Growth Progressive, also has a nice way of expressing this. He remarked to me that today's workers need to approach the workplace much like athletes preparing for the Olympics, with one difference. They have to prepare like someone who is training for the Olympics but doesn't know what sport they are going to enter, said Sperling. They have to be ready to do anything. If all that is true, then Marsha Lowry, the enterprise architect I met at EDS headquarters, is a gold medal Olympic adapter. She epitomizes for me the person who has adapted her way into the new middle, always staying just one step ahead of the job-devouring forces of automation and outsourcing. Sometimes I feel like it has been muddling instead of middling, remarked the good-natured 48-year-old adapter as she told me the story of her remarkable career path at EDS. I started out in 1978. I thought I wanted to be an accountant, so I was in college at the University of North Texas, but I was impatient to get on with my life, so I dropped out of college and went to night school, learned how to type and take shorthand, and I got a job in the EDS Word Processing Center. This was the days before PCs, so Lowry worked on a simple word processor, typing sales reports. After a few years, though, the PC came along on everyone's desk, and the sales reps typed their own reports. Goodbye to that job. So then I moved into mainframe and desktop publishing, she explained. That was slightly more specialized, and that involved formatting text to prepare documents for publication using computers. But then the software got more advanced and people could do that for themselves. Goodbye to that job. After that, Lowry made a living for a short time helping EDS colleagues learn how to do desktop publishing themselves. I automated the formatting process for people so they could publish their own documents, she said. From there, she took a job at the EDS call center and help desk. I was there for only about a year because while I was at the help desk, I realized that I would be a lot more successful at helping if I knew more about the network that we were supporting, she recalled. So I simply got up one day, put down my headset, and asked one of the top-tier people working in the SMC, Systems Management Center, Sam Billings, "How can I learn what you do? Sam, teach me." And he did. He would let me observe what he was doing. He'd reach under his desk and pull out a manual and say, "You need to know this." When he was troubleshooting a problem, he would take me over to a network diagram and say, "Let's use some logic here. You are getting a bunch of calls from people who have this symptom. What does it mean? Connect the dots." While she was going through this phase, Lowry realized that she needed to package and promote herself and compete as an individual against other individuals inside EDS. There were a lot of people who knew about technology, so what was going to differentiate me or make me get that new job as opposed to someone else? She asked. I concluded that I needed to keep constantly learning because there was always something new coming around the corner. That's when I understood that I was Marsha Incorporated. I concluded that I was solely responsible to keep learning by myself, that the resources were available, and that it was just a matter of me taking the initiative. But I decided that I needed some credentials. At the time, EDS was using Novell NetWare as its primary network operating system. Lowry, studying on her own, got herself certified on that system. On weekends, she would come in and just hang out with the engineers when they were rolling out a new server. They were so willing to help me, I guess because they recognized the curiosity factor, so I got some practical hands-on experience, she recalled. One day, one of the managers called me and said, "This system management center is growing rapidly." He said he had 5 openings and I should pick one. I picked Windows NT, Microsoft's network operating system, and I became one of the first NT server technicians in the SMC. So I helped to develop a team of people who did that support. Then I started tagging around with some of the systems architects. I was going to school the whole time and switched over to web-based courses. I eventually moved into engineering. Along the way, she also wrote a guidebook, Active Directory for Dummies. That, said Lowry, was a calculated move to try to raise my profile within EDS. I needed to prove that there was more to me than just the eyes-on-glass technician, and I wanted to prove that I could compete with the big guys and breathe some of their rare air. Because to get to the highest job codes, you have to publish, initiate patents, and work on globally important projects.